And welcome to the Sportscast, the first Sportscast of the year, January 2nd, 2018. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all our channels and follow us on YouTube, Periscope, and iTunes. And if you're listening on iTunes, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. Well, first Sportscast of the year. I can't think of anyone else to start this off but Ryan Christo. Welcome to the Sportscast.
Thank you, Santiago. New year. I'm feeling refreshed, ready for 2019 year of sports to begin.
Big year in sports. Sports is only getting bigger. You know, the rise of soccer and hockey. But let's get to it. Your Florida Gators defeated Michigan at the Peach Bowl. Were you surprised? Was this a big win? What do you see this win for? How would you define it?
It didn't surprise me. We won. It surprised me the way we kind of just dominated Michigan from the beginning to the end, and definitely in the second half. The Gators made winning plays, showed how tough they were in the line of scrimmage, and just kind of how SEC beat Michigan when they counted in the second half. And I know Michigan was kind of a little bit of a shell of itself, missing a couple of their best players, who didn't play, wanting to rest up for the NFL combine and get ready for the draft. But with that saying, I was definitely impressed and kind of excited now for the 2019 Gators season, because a lot of these players we have on our roster right now will be back, and we're adding more talent to with a, you know, pretty good recruiting class coming in for next year. I think, you know, expectations were for Dan Mullen in his first year just to get better, you know, change the culture, you know, just look more like a legitimate college football team that we didn't see the last couple of years. And he did that and more. You know, there's just a sense of pride the Gators played with this year that just excited not just me, but the rest of Gator Nation. We're not just, you know, we're not excited for next year, but for years to come. Because of the, you know, the way this year went.
Lamical Perrine had a 5-yard scoring catch and a 53-yard touchdown run to lead number 10 Florida's strong rushing attack Saturday, helping the Gators cap their comeback season with a 41-15 route of number 8 Michigan in the Peach Bowl. After finishing 4-7 in 2017, Florida enjoyed a dramatic turnaround in Dan Mullen's debut season as coach. Do you think Mullen is the right guy for the future?
Absolutely. You know, they're kind of really wanting Chip Kelly to come in and bring this crazy, great offense. But really what we needed was a Dan Mullen, who is one of the best quarterback developers that we've seen in college football. You know, the system worked here in Florida because they won a couple of national championships years ago with Tim Tebow, and he was the offensive coordinator. And he just knows how to win here in Florida, and he knows what it takes. Was there some tough moments this year? Absolutely. You know, losing to Kentucky for the first time in a very long time. A disappointing home loss and homecoming to Missouri was tough, but the way they finished, just excited that, you know, the Gators, you know, 3 weeks left in the season, they have a game at home against South Carolina, down by 14 midway through the third quarter. And it kind of looks like the season was crumbling, kind of like we've seen the last couple of years under Jim McElwain. But it just seemed like he just kept on coaching, and the team kept on believing. They went on a huge run in the game and beat South Carolina. You know, did what they had to do against Idaho, and just came and beat the Seminoles in the last game of regular, something they hadn't done in a very long time. And then finished, obviously, with a great bowl win. It's just nice to be excited for the next season. We haven't felt that in a long time as a Gators fan.
How do you view Jim Harbaugh, the coach of Michigan's future? Do you think he's going to come back, or do you think he's going to take one of those vacancies in the NFL?
I mean, he says he's not. He says he wants to be here in Michigan long term, but Michigan is a hard place. You know, you're always going against Ohio State. And right now, Ohio State's got things rolling, even with the new coach, Ryan Day. So no matter how much you do, if you don't beat Ohio State, you're always going to think your season's a failure. He hasn't beaten Ohio State. But, yeah, he's kind of turned the program. They're consistently getting 9-10 wins. It just seems like the Michigan fan base, so they were excited at first. Now it seems like they're getting a little antsy. They want more. Well, but it just seems like I've always thought Jim Harbaugh being, an NFL guy. He's got that tough guy look. He coaches an NFL system, which I think holding Michigan back a little bit is that they kind of refuse to go to the modern college offense of, up-tempo spread. They want to stay with the basic pro formations, pro style. While it has its advantages, I feel like they're kind of missing out of the advantages that this modern college offense is using the rules to their advantage and tempo. Just kind of the stubbornness not to change, but I do think he's doing a good job. And if you had to put a gun to my head, I don't think he even interviews for any NFL job. But it doesn't mean if one more year of, average, above average season in Michigan, I think if pressure gets too much, I do think he'll go back to the NFL.
From the comments, they're saying that Harbaugh was 1-9 against top 10 teams. 2-7 against rivals and one bowl win. Do you think he's overrated?
No, because Michigan had little of no success before he got to Ann Arbor a couple years prior. And what he did, that Stanford that we see now winning 9, 8, 9, 10 wins. They were literally the biggest dumpster fire out in the pack, Pacific. When he got there, they were terrible. He transformed their culture. He showed that you can win at an academic school. I don't think he's overrated. What he did with the 49ers, taking them to the Super Bowl, if you look what they've done before he got to the 49ers and after he got to the 49ers, shows how good of a coach he is. So, no, is he overrated? No. Does he get too much attention and time? Yes.
Speaking about Black Monday, we're talking about it. These were the coaches that got fired. Arizona Cardinals, Steve Wilks. Miami Dolphins, Adam Gase. Broncos coach, Vance Joseph. Bengals, Marvin Lewis. Buccaneers, Dirk Koetter, and New York Jets, Todd Bowles. From this list, who do you think was the most surprising?
Probably Steve Wilks of Arizona because it's his first year. And he was kind of forced his hand on starting a rookie quarterback. They didn't have very much talent on their team. I guess I just don't know what the management was expecting from this year. These views are from the outside. We don't know what the culture was inside the locker room. Maybe, he didn't handle things well there. So there's a lot of things we can make judgments on that we're just not there all the time that management sees. But that was probably the most surprising because usually you at least get 2 years to change things up. The NFL is kind of a win now no matter what because of the league is structured. You can usually turn the team around within 2 years, and if you can't, then you're probably not the right guy. But 1 year just seemed a little bit quick for me. But the other one that's kind of surprising was your local Miami Dolphins, because it's not like the Dolphins are bad, but they just were never good enough. I think, Mr. Ross wants high expectations for his franchise. He put a lot of money into the stadium. I just think, he wants this rock star team, this this team that, is high-flying, fun to watch, I don't think he even wants to win necessarily a lot of games. He just wants a lot of people to talk about the Dolphins. And I think for Ryan Tannehill and Adam Gase, they just weren't that. They were just kind of your average Dolphins team.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I was kind of questioning Gase's leadership. I think, you know, some decision-making of getting Cutler in and things like that. I mean, he's a young coach, you know, came from Nick Saban. But I don't know, just didn't really, you know, have that dominant force, I guess, you know. But we'll see what happens. There's six vacant spots. And talk about the Broncos. Vance Joseph got fired. Are you happy about that? Was that, like, the right move?
As a guy who watched every snap for the last 2 years, I never want to see a guy get fired. I want to see him have a chance. But it's not that they were losing games the way they lose it. They're undisciplined. They just seem clueless at times. They, you know, unmotivated at times. You know, middle of the season, you know, they're 3-6. They went 3 straight games against, you know, winning against the Steelers at San Diego, at Cincinnati. They're 6-6, and they got, you know, games against the 49ers, Browns, Raiders, and home against the Chargers, you know. And everybody around the, you know, the fan base is thinking, you know, we're going to do it. We're going to probably win 7 straight games and make the playoffs. You know, but they end up going and, you know, kind of falling in their face. You know, they did deal with a lot of injuries. They're starting, you know, they're having 2 rookie running backs, 2 rookie wide receivers. Some of it has to do with the personnel issues. But why they had to make them change is this. They just seem to lack, or, you know, organization on the field, you know, silly penalties. It, you know, the stuff that kind of reflects on coaching, not necessarily on talent.
Adam Gase is reportedly having an interview with Arizona Cardinals. You expect Gase to be the first one hired?
I think so, because he doesn't do a bad job in Miami. I don't think they were as talented as, you know, what, you know, they probably got the amount of wins they should have. They're probably a 7-win talent team, and they won 7 games or 8 games, whatever it has to be. You know, made the playoffs one time. And I think he's, you know, he's good with quarterbacks. And obviously Josh Rosen, of all the 5 rookie quarterbacks that taken last year, by far struggled the most. And I think they need, and that's probably why, you know, Arizona, another reason why they made the move, they wanted to go with an offensive-minded coach to be around Josh Rosen, because when you pick a guy that high, you're going to give the quarterback, always going to get the benefit of the doubt, and you're going to put people around him in the organization to get him to succeed.
Which of the rookie quarterbacks, including Lamar Jackson, had a good first year?
They all had, you know, maybe Josh Rosen had the least amount of best moments, but they all had their moments. Being here in Rochester, I got to see a lot of Josh Allen. I know he missed a lot of the middle of the season, but from the end of the season, from the beginning of the season, this guy was a totally new quarterback and kind of changing the Bills put around the system. Well, it wasn't a college-like system, but they gave him the luxury to, you know, run the ball more than most NFL quarterbacks do. And, you know, being a big, strong guy, you know, with, you know, decent speed, you know, he was almost 3 straight games of over 100 yards. You know, his biggest issue was accuracy in college, and still is his biggest issue. You know, low percentage, completion percentage is, you know, he's got to pick that up. But he's also working with probably the worst, you know, set of receivers in the NFL by far. So the Bills' number one priority is to put, you know, more talent around him. But, you know, Sam Darnold had moments of greatness. But Lamar Jackson, basically keeping Super Bowl winning quarterback Joe Flacco on the bench right now. You know, what is he, 6-1 as a starter? You know, they changed their offense around a little bit to fit him, but still, you know, they won a lot of tough games, a lot of important games, games that a lot of NFL team, you know, NFL quarterbacks with veteran experience don't win. And you know, I credit to the offensive staff in Baltimore for, you know, catering an offense for him, but also credit to him for going out there and doing it. But by far the best rookie quarterback was from beginning to end was Baker Mayfield. I I think I told you at the beginning of the season I thought it would be success if the Browns won 5 games. But they end up, what, winning 7 games, or they're 7-8-1? That was a major success for the organization. It gave them hope. And I wouldn't be surprised if, the championships for AFC North are going to start going through Cleveland if they continue to put a good team around them. I don't think Greg Williams is a great choice for the long-term future of the Browns, but he was the right choice for the interim. The team played hard for him. I would love to see them even go with Freddie Kitchens, the offensive coordinator, as a head coach. Because he got the most out of Baker Mayfield, and they seem to have a great relationship. But we'll see I think keeping him on staff no matter what is going to be important.
But don't you think that they should, the Browns should keep Greg Williams? I mean, just keep what's working.
Yes, but, too many times, not just in NFL, but in both college football, basketball, NBA, when you change a coach, for some reason, you're doing it to get a spark. And that seemed to spark the Browns. But you're not looking for next year. You're looking for a long-term future of the Browns. And Greg Williams, is a great defensive coach. But he's got a history of kind of being hard to deal with, hard to work with. He's got a big personality. I think if they can hire, a good offensive mind, keeping him as a defensive coach, if he's willing to do that, will be great. I doubt, anybody will be wanting to go from head coach back to coordinator in the same organization. But, yeah, you got a point, but you got to look at the long-term future, too.
Very much so. The Browns seems like the team of the future, which is what I said about the Jaguars last year. And Josh Allen, back to what you were saying, I think Josh Allen has a lot of potential. Man, he can sure run.
Yeah, I mean, the numbers, Santiago, we haven't, even some of, he's putting up Michael Vick numbers, and he's not the athlete Michael Vick was, he's stronger than Michael Vick, but he's not the kind of speed, but, man, he's great off the field, and he can, he's running over people, granted, as he becomes, put more weapons around him, and he's got to improve his passing consistency, but I think, and then rely on running when he has to. But right now, I feel like, whatever way you got to win a game for this organization, you're going to do it. I was telling you, I was talking to my wife, being a local like her, she growing up as being a Bills fan. And I told her, and I've heard this from multiple people, even though the Bills went to the playoffs last year, this team is in a much better shape winning 6 games this year. It has a much brighter future than they did last year when winning 10 games. Because they have direction now. Last year, they didn't have that. They are just kind of a team that got every break in the world, and they made it to the playoffs. And it showed in their game against the Jaguars, they just don't have very much talent. But, they drafted well this year. Their best offensive player, Josh Allen, and their best defensive player, Tremaine Edwards, were both taken in the early rounds. And that they just, it just seems like for the first time in a while, this organization seems to be going in the right direction.
And I guess, the Bills' future, looks very bright with Josh Allen. I kind of wish Vontae Davis should have stuck around.
I think that was more of Vontae just realizing he didn't have it anymore, and I don't ever recommend quitting within a game, but, I don't think he was long for this team, for this league anymore anyways.
Kyle Williams retired this past weekend. What were your thoughts about his career?
One of the most iconic Bills, through a lot of their tough seasons, one of the most consistent factors is how hard Kyle Williams played and the plays he made and the icon he was in the community here. Because he wasn't like an athlete, had this, ultra lifestyle, but his life was just like an average person, country boy from Louisiana, he was very friendly, always willing to sign autographs, was it a best ever build? No, but he was always consistent. The fans loved him. You know, you talk about a game when it was, what, 15, 20 degrees in December, and a game that didn't matter at all in the playoffs, and you almost have a full stadium in Buffalo, unheard of. But they all were there, you know, because they wanted to say goodbye to Kyle Williams. Then, you know, not the Bills fan, but, you know, somebody who's close to, you know.
Who knows a little bit more about the Bills more than we do. Yeah, like the Bills are definitely a team to watch out for in the future, and the Dolphins have to put their act together to get a new quarterback. I think Tannehill is out.
You know, I don't think you're going to see it next year, the Bills overtaking the Patriots.
Wow.
But I think, you know, we saw, I'm not saying next year, but I think when we're talking this time next year, I think the Bills get to 8-9 wins, and I think the Patriots drop down to 9 wins. I think you're definitely seeing a change of guard. The Patriots are winning games, but they just seem very vulnerable this year.
Yeah, they look pretty off this year.
You know, but at the same time, you know, how can you go against them when it comes to the playoffs? You know, it's TB12 effect.
And though they usually go to the Super Bowl when they have home field advantage. This year they don't, but Kansas City does have a weak defense, so we'll definitely keep an eye if the Patriots go on to the AFC Championship. Should the Dolphins get rid of Tannehill?
It depends on who their new coach is. You know, we talked about Nick Foles. You know, he's going to be kind of the domino this summer, you know. Yeah, summer probably, you know, when we're talking here in March, you know, when free agency starts.
But what if the Eagles win the Super Bowl with Nick Foles again this year?
That's complicated, but I feel like the Eagles had a very good team last year. I don't know if they have that type of team this year. And I know they got in, and I know they're playing inspired football the last couple of weeks. And sometimes, you know, coming in, getting hot at the right time makes a big difference. It didn't really surprise me last year that money in Super Bowl, because I think they had a really good team beyond their quarterback. I just don't know if they have that this year. And I don't know if Nick Foles can do it 2 years in a row. You know, because what he's done in the last couple weeks of regular season has been great. It's just hard for him to imagine that somebody, you know, continually do that.
So you're thinking the Dolphins, if Foles, you know, is a free agent, should consider Foles?
Well, I think he's ending up either in, you know, Jacksonville or
Miami,
I believe.
He's going to Florida.
I believe so. I mean, you know, I don't know anything more than you, Santiago, but that's just a hunch.
And the Buccaneers had decided to keep James Winston. Was that a right choice?
He's got all the talent in the world, Santiago, and they got a lot of talent on that offense. I know
Mike Evans.
The top Texan, you know, said he wants to move on from the organization, but if whoever comes in as a new coach can, you know, keep him, you know, Mike Evans, you know, Peyton back and the running back. I think this team can put up a lot of points. You know, can they build a defense around a consistent defense? Yeah, I do think there'll be a defensive-minded head coach, though, for the Buccaneers over there.
Yeah, it's something that the Buccaneers have a lot of talent, and we'll see what happens. So Nathan Peterman,
to the side note, Santiago, I've watched a lot of football in my life, and I just don't understand how Derek Cutter
can more clean house, maybe get rid of the quarterback.
I don't know. I still have a lot of money invested, you know. The salary cap will be a huge hit, I think, if they release David Carr right now. I just don't think they're in that position to do that. You know, maybe another year, see if David Carr works out under John Gruden. If not, then next year, you know, was just a weird year. As it looks right now, you know, they're going to be playing in a new city for 1 year before they move into their new stadium in Las Vegas. And
where would that city be?
Kind of get through this year, you know. Santiago, no one knows. It's, you know, I think it's 50% they're back in Oakland and 50% anywhere from playing at the 49er stadium to playing in San Antonio.
San Antonio would be awesome just to see how it works.
I don't know. It's just a weird year. I think, you know, Mike Mayock, more known for his, you know, being the Mel Kiper of the NFL Network draft guy. But it's interesting to see how he does as a GM, you know, kind of.
The Raiders are hiring a whole lot of TV personalities.
But I don't know the right guy. They're just a weird organization, you know.
That's why they call it the black hole for some reason.
As long as you know, somebody that just never know what they're.
Ryan, you're still there.
I'm still there.
Oh, okay, awesome. Well, you know, we could talk NFL all we want because there's a lot of changes going on. Wild card weekend this weekend. But anything else before we go on to game predictions?
To me, it is a tough time. You know, my Broncos are done. The Gators are done. You know. And, you know, the Broncos aren't in the playoffs. You know, it's kind of, you know, getting my body used to no football here, you know, for the next month. You know, soak as much as I can, you know. Excited for, you know, Clemson v. Alabama here and next Tuesday, next Monday.
You predicted the first game.
I don't get tired of this matchup, Santiago, you know. I always consider myself a Clemson fan. I'm a Clemson, supporter in the sense of, you know, I want them to win. I can, you know, no offense to the other sports cast member here, but I don't roll with the tide, if you know what I mean. But
I guess most of the country doesn't, unless you go there and experience it a little bit. But even then, Philip Lindsay for the Broncos. How excited are you for him for the future in the Broncos?
I'm excited. You know, I don't know how good he'll be in the future. If this is just a one-year kind of new guy in the scene, or he's legitimately, a guy we can build a franchise around. see how he, you know.
You don't sound too excited about him.
Yeah, there's a lot of questions about the organization. You know, when you talk about personnel, you're going to have to, you know, start with the coach and what type of coach you're bringing, you know, in what direction, you know. I highly doubt we'll get rid of Case Keenum. He's only 1 year left on his deal. It'll be interesting to see if we get a new quarterback, you know, draft a new quarterback in this year's draft, or are you just going to roll with what we got? And then, I think most people, and I think even Case Keenum knows he's not going to be the Broncos quarterback going beyond this year. So where are we going to go? Are we going to find one through free agency, or are we going to build through the draft?
It's too bad.
When it comes to Philip Lindsay, I think he was great this year. I don't know if he's the guy. I would like to, you know, it'd be nice if we can get him and Royce Freeman to be long-term answers because they're so young. You know, Royce Freeman being more of a bigger pounder back, while Philip Lindsay's a quicker, you know, do-everything type of back.
Seems like you're not much of a fan of Phil Lindsay.
Oh, I am, Santiago. I just...
Don't seem a long-term guy.
Running backs in this league, they come and go.
He's no C.J. Anderson.
Stay around beyond 1 year, you know. No C.J. You know, what a story, though, Santiago. C.J. Anderson, last couple weeks, has been tearing it up for the Rams.
That's what they needed, because Gurley's not 100%.
No, and that's, you know, the Rams got a week off, and they desperately need, you know, Gurley to get healthy. No offense to my man C.J. Anderson, but, you know, they're going to, you know, going to need a heavy dose of Todd Gurley because he can do so much, you know, not just running the ball, but catching the ball out of the backfield. If this offense, once it gets back on track, if they can get on track next Saturday night, I highly doubt anybody in the NFC is going to be able to beat them. If they can get on track and they can make a couple of defensive stops. But we can get into those when we get in beyond when we get to the divisional round next week.
Let's get into the wild card predictions. Are you ready? Ryan?
I'm here. I'm ready. I'm ready. Yeah, I'm ready for the game.
Let's go Colts at the Texans.
Colts are hot. You know, they're playing good. You know, they won that big game at Tennessee last week. I just think the Texans are a more complete football team right now. They're lacking a little bit in, you know, receivers beyond Hopkins since Demaryius Thomas is out for the rest of the year. But I'm going to go with the Texans winning this game.
The Texans, Deshaun Watson. The Seahawks at the Hot Boys.
Oh, what? This is a great matchup, San Diego. I'm going to be interested to see what the viewership is being Saturday night. I think we're going to see some huge numbers viewership-wise. You know, the Cowboys always bring in numbers and being a nighttime against another polarizing franchise in the Seahawks, Russell Wilson, Dak Prescott. The Cowboys are playing great right now. Let's go Cowboys.
The Cowboys go through to the divisional playoffs. The Chargers at the Ravens.
Best total matchup of the first round, I think. Two really good teams. This game should be played next week in San Diego, not this week, and the way these two teams are playing. You know, young quarterback Lamar Jackson versus the veteran Phillip Rivers. It's just sad that one of these teams is going home this early, but I'm going to go with the Chargers. That's just a little more experience than the Ravens right now.
I think the Ravens are going to do it. I really do think they're going to beat the Chargers. I'm not sure what you know what's going to happen like the next round, but we'll see.
But you
wouldn't be surprised if they won. Ryan. Okay, and let's go to this is also a big game. I mean, every game is pretty big this weekend. Let's go for the Eagles at the Bears.
Yeah. You know, we talked about the Eagles. Can they do it another year? I don't think so. I think the Bears are a great team right now and a great team of the future. I think them and the Rams are going to be the two best teams in the NFC for a long time. Like, you know, I know the Saints had a great team this year, but that's just, I think the Saints are, you know, watching the Saints last week about Drew Brees playing shows me that Drew Brees means a whole lot to that team right now. But with that saying, Terry I think Bridgewater. The Bears win this game right now.
The Bears defense go through. And for the national championship, Clemson versus Alabama at Levi Stadium.
I'm going to, you know, do I go with my head or my heart? I'm going with my heart. C-L-E-M-S-O-N, Clemson, Clemson, Clemson.
Clemson wins the college national championship. We'll see if this quarterback, Trevor Lawrence, is the real deal or not.
Yeah, well, definitely, you know, and I just think this Clemson, you know, that front line is going to put a lot of pressure on Tua. And if anything, we learned from the game against Georgia, that if you put pressure on Tua, he's more vulnerable and will make mistakes. I don't know what tested much this year, and it's going to be interesting seeing who deals with that thing in the close game. I just, like I said, you know, I don't really roll with the tide, but, you know, I think Dabo, you know, I just kind of fond of him, you know, much more than I am of St. Nicky over there. But I'm going to go with Clemson to win this.
Ryan is going with Orange this Monday night. And Ryan, how can people reach you to talk to you about the Buffalo Bills?
The Mad Dog Report 18, yeah. That's funny to say, but yeah, I do. You know, I watch a lot of Bills games. I do not necessarily a fan, but I do appreciate. in my area.
The local NFL team, one of the teams, you know, one of the cities that are played in, like Green Bay and Buffalo, one of the odd cities that, you know, they're not big markets per se, you know, but it's one of those things. The NFL is, you know, hey, it works in those cities. It works. Well, Ryan, thanks for coming on to the Sportscast. We're going to have a huge weekend in sports. We'll see you next week, right?
Yeah, definitely. If I don't catch you before the national championship.
Well, right.
Spring
baseball, spring college basketball, and, of course, the NBA All-Star Game and playoffs. Ryan is throughout the whole year because he's a hybrid in the Sportscast. Thanks for coming on.
All right, sounds good. See you in Santiago. Bye-bye.